Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside here on this Monday evening, the 30th of June, and it's the start of NBA free agency. And the moves, there's not a lot going on here, to be honest with you. We'll run through them here in a little bit. There are some teams that are getting markedly better, though. I think you can look at the Atlanta Hawks team as a team that, okay, are we building something here? Are we going to slip back into the top six? The East is pretty open. Houston Rockets, along with their Kevin Durant trade, have added some nice pieces and extended some pieces that they needed to. So there are some teams that their fan base is feeling pretty good about where they are compared to maybe a week ago and are getting excited for the start of the NBA season, which does not start for a few months, but next week there's summer league. So the off season that never started never ends either, I guess. I can workshop that one. Still in the drafts. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Nothing shocking happened. Nothing crazy. Michael Porter Jr. got traded to the Nets. Okay, it's something. Giannis still a Buck. Okay. What else were we expecting might go down today? LeBron James, you can add his name into that ring, as he had a player option for $53 million, and he opted into it. But then they put out a statement saying, essentially, we know you're thinking about the future. LeBron wants to compete for a championship. Rich Paul, his agent, he knows the Lakers are building for the future. He understands that, but he values a realistic chance of winning it all. We understand the difficulty in winning now while preparing for the future. We do want to evaluate what's best for LeBron at this stage in his life and his career. He wants to make every season he has left count, and the Lakers understand that, are supportive, and want what's best for him. That sort of opens the door to think, hey, we could be on the move. They'd have to trade him because he did opt in. Could have opted out and been a free agent and signed a 20-year deal somewhere, $20 million deal somewhere. Not going to do that. Doesn't even make sense to even bring that up. It would have never happened, which is kind of crazy, but doesn't make any sense to bring it up. He can play wherever he wants. The Lakers have been offering him 2-year deals over and over. It's a 2-year deal. It's 1 year and then a player option. The deal expires. You want to opt in or do you want another 2-year deal? Yep, I want that. So the option kept getting essentially kicked down the road. It's basically he signed a 6-year deal within a player option for year 7, but that's not how they structured it, because it always gives LeBron that sense of choice in the matter. But now the Lakers, it would appear, didn't offer it, otherwise he probably would have signed it. But by not offering it, they're starting to think of a post-LeBron era, as they've got the next guy. You've got the next guy. You went from Kobe to LeBron. You're going from LeBron to Luka. He's your next guy. That's the cornerstone of that franchise now. This is Luka's team. LeBron is on it. It's Luka's team. It's kind of crazy how fast that all happened, but it is Luka's team. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Lee is in Baltimore. Lee.
What's up, Bart?
What's up, Lee?
Man, I cannot believe this. We is really talking about LeBron James.
We're doing it.
This guy, listen. All right, let's face the fact. Okay, he's the only billionaire playing basketball right now. So technically, he can do whatever he wants. That contract, that stuff doesn't even matter when you're talking LeBron. I mean, think about it. He went from Cleveland, went down to Miami, went all the way across there to L.A., and my prediction, my guess, since we all going to be playing this guessing game, is he probably go all the way back across to complete the triangle and end up somewhere in New York. for some reason. I mean, why not? Why not have a king play in the Garden? You know what I mean? I think it's either that or even Brooklyn. It's either that or Brooklyn for some reason. I don't know why. I just feel like Brooklyn, Jay-Z. I don't know. Maybe he'll end up there. You know, I just it's crazy that we're actually having this conversation. LeBron can literally do whatever he wants. He knows how to stay relevant, keep his name in the conversation. He knows what he's doing. He's a man.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen. Okay, and another thing, Bart, before I go real quick. Hey, speaking of video games, I heard you say something about PS5. I have my PS5, I think, for like 6 years now. I do play Madden all the time, and I buy all the new sports games. So if you want to, you can play me. You can play me in Madden. We can play, have a great game in Madden, and I'll you know, show you what I can do with those races.
You got a PS5?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
All right. See, I'm gonna drop $500 just to play you in Madden.
Hey, listen, I play MLB too, the show.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
All right. Hey, shout out to Julian Reese too. He's a Laker, a Los Angeles Laker. That's Angel Reese's little brother. They're both Baltimore natives. Just shout out to him and Queen as well. Have a good night, Bart.
Yeah, you too. Lee in Baltimore. Although, you know, I watched a couple of, you know, when you watch reels on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and the algorithm's now giving me reels that are telling me that money. Okay, how do I explain this? Basically, the reels say that we're in a simulation. Money is just another data point in the simulation. And if you think hard enough, then you'll start finding more money in your life. So all you got to do is think about, like, manifest, like manifesting. But it's not just manifesting. It's manifesting as a hack into the matrix that we live in. So I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start manifesting money coming my way, and once I do that, I will then buy a PS5 and play Lee and Madden, and it's all going to be because of the power of manifestation, which may or may not be attributed to ones and zeros in a computer program that we're living in. I'm not sure yet. I'm just 15 seconds scroll by, you know, you retain whatever you retain. And then I blab it here for you. Rick's in Sacramento. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Bart.
Hey.
I don't want to feel like I'm beating a dead horse, so I'm going to go a different path on the LeBron thing. I don't know if there's any point in his career, all the way down to when he was a kid, where he wasn't the man on the team. And I would have to guess it's got to be pretty hard that everything's being built around Luka. And I think that even his statement it seemed to try and draw back to him, like the Lakers are going to, you know, trade people for LeBron and not for the overall betterment of the team. The other thing I kind of noticed is you don't hear much from the Lakers at all. And you don't hear much from J.J. Redick also. And, I think going in, I don't think this season is going to be very kind to LeBron. I think he's got a lot of things to deal with, being number two, and knowing that his career is coming to an end. I mean, that's got to be kind of tough, that the writing's on the wall. Anyway, take your comments off the air, Bart. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Rick. LeBron's never not been the top guy. I mean, Sports Illustrated cover when he's 16. Even when he was on Team USA or the All-Star Games. I mean, some years it's Team Durant, some years it's Team Steph, some years it's Team Giannis. It's always Team LeBron. And then on Team USA, when they needed a guy to take over in the final minutes, it was LeBron. He's always been the top dog. He's never been the second guy anywhere. That's a great point. That might be the hardest thing to realize more than anything, is your position changed. I saw an interview. Shane Battier was talking to Pablo Torre about when he realized he needed to retire. It was when Eric Spoelstra on the Heat stopped playing him in the fourth quarter. because he wasn't good enough to be in the closing time lineups. And that was what he was known for. The aggressiveness, the defense, when you need a stop, when you need to shut the other team down, you go to Shane Battier. You have him on the floor. And then he had gotten out of that rotation, and it really affected him. And he ended up retiring, and he was bitter for a long time. And then he took a job with ESPN as an analyst, and he said his just heart wasn't into it. And it really affected him. Your worldview changes. I mean, your whole life, at least your basketball life, you've been number one. And now you're not even number one on your own team. So there could be some interesting, I guess, emotions that come with that. That's part of it. That's part of it. People have egos. People have feelings. I know it's like cool to pretend that we don't, especially men, especially like athletes, dude. I mean, of course they have feelings. Of course they're going to be affected by stuff like this. I don't see him being traded. I don't see it really working out. This isn't something that other teams plan for. Also, you're looking at LeBron at this age, and it's not like, I mean, he's even 35 and you could gut your team for him. You don't know how long he's going to play. I mean, you don't know how long he's going to play. I think he could still play at a pretty high level for years to come, but you don't know that he wants to do that. So how much of your team are you going to give up for? Because if this was just an issue of, hey, let's sign LeBron James to the mid-level exception, that'd be one thing. But LeBron opted in, and now the only way he can go anywhere else is to get traded. And it's a no-trade clause, so he's got to kind of dictate where he wants to go, and then the other team's going to have to give at least a fair offer. I mean, you got LeBron James. You kind of want to get something in return for that. David's in Buffalo. What's up, David?
Hey, Bart. Appreciate you taking my call tonight, man. Big day in sports, dude. A couple points on some things that went on today. I think number one, with LeBron, I think to me, the writing is on the wall that this is it for him. And I think he's just, I mean, his whole career, he's obviously arguably the greatest ever, but he loves that attention and he's going to ride that all the way to the end. The other guy who loves attention is Aaron Rodgers, but I think he knows that, and the Steelers front office and Tomlin knows too, that they have to go build up a really good defense and a really good team around him, because Rodgers at this point is a liability. And one last point on some of the moves in hockey today. Great move by Vegas to get Mitch Marner, a great move by Florida to bring back Ekblad and to bring back the guy they brought from Boston. I forget his name at this
point. Oh, Marchand.
Yeah, great move.
Thanks for helping me look smart. Thank you.
Yeah, great move by them to bring him back. I really like it. I'm interested to see what Edmonton does, too. I know they re-signed Evan Bouchard today, but I feel like they got to do a little bit more to help out McDavid. So interested to hear your thoughts, man, and have a great holiday week, buddy.
Yeah, you too, David, in Buffalo, 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. If LeBron does get traded, the odds-on favorite right now is the Dallas Mavericks, 5-2. Cavs at 4-1. Warriors 5-1. Knicks 6-1. Spurs 8-1. If LeBron James got traded to the Mavericks, now they'd have to give up a bunch of pieces. Whether that's Gafford and Clay, and you know, you'd still end up with a team with Cooper Flagg and Kyrie, AD. He'd team up, he'd team up with Kyrie, the two guys he had won titles with. Then he'd play with Cooper Flagg, and then Nico Harrison would say it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. Oh, investigations would have been done. Now, if Luka was traded for LeBron, that would have been one thing. But Luka was traded for Anthony Davis and Max Christie. Max Christie, a part of that deal. Again, NBA free agency kicking off today. Not as sexy as it used to be because the second apron, first of all, has got some teams twisted in this cap situation, and also nobody's tampering anymore. NBA free agency used to be like on a weekend at midnight. And so, but then at midnight, there were all these deals that got rushed because everybody like, oh, we have this 7-year or not 5-year deal. We got all the contract, but it was like midnight on a weekend, and then they moved it to a Monday here, and that's what we've got today. 888-710-4ISN. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
I never did ask him who the other three were. I'm not sure I wanted to know. You know? Maybe throws a name in there of a guy. I'm like, oh, boy. Top four. You sometimes you just got to take the victories as they come. You don't want to pry too much. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. With my deepest apologies for those of you that think 21 years is too much of talking about a certain guy, I am talking about LeBron James and his sort of statement of maybe wanting a trade. The Lakers have moved on to Luka. And I find it interesting that, like, in the NFL, quarterbacks, when that next guy gets drafted, it's awkward, but only one can play. But these guys can both play. So, yeah, Luka might be the future, but LeBron and Luka, that sounds like a team that should be able to do something. Everyone thought they would go pretty deep. Everyone. And then they got bounced by the Timberwolves pretty quickly. You think, oh, okay, maybe it's an issue of chemistry and they need another year and you get to camp and that will help. Lakers having a hard time finding a big man today. I believe they are in on DeAndre Ayton. Nothing has been solidified yet. So I don't know what the latest is there. The last free agent signing that I see is the Sixers have agreed to a deal with Trendon Watford. So just to repeat that, please, I know the excitement's going to, let's stay on the road here, folks. The Sixers have agreed to a 2-year deal with Trendon Watford, $5.3 million. Let's all take a deep breath. We will get through this together.
Wow.
Rams in Milwaukee. What's happening, Ram?
What's going on, Bart?
What's up, buddy?
I'm just surprised that we're still talking about LeBron. You know I'm a LeBron hater, so.
Through and through, day one.
Absolutely. There's nothing about, as a coach, doing things the right way. I just think his legacy is tarnished. But I didn't see the Lakers going far in the playoffs. I personally think they had a soft schedule in the beginning of the season, and then it kind of got away from them towards the end.
Yeah.
And when you pay so much people that type of money, their roster, they didn't have enough scoring power to beat nobody. And I never heard of Bron talking about taking the hometown discount to get anybody to come to the team, other than for his son. So what were they going to really do? I didn't see them doing anything. You know, I was kind of upset that my Warriors didn't sweep them in the Rooks. Every time they play the Warriors, I want them to sweep them. Every time. I don't care if it's Summer League, whatever. I don't want LeBron to win that because of
the Well, the Warriors, they're one of the teams that could have tried to trade for LeBron. What if he ends up a Warrior?
I think that's AI. The Warriors front office.
That's AI.
If you really talk to them, I just don't think they got over 2016. And I think that's just talk from people outside the doors of the world. I don't think they want LeBron nowhere near their their locker room.
They won three titles after that. I think they got over it.
Yeah, they did. But, you know, that year they took it from them, like Stephen A. Smith said, of stimulus package. They would have set some records. You remember?
Yeah.
They would have set some.
They were 73-9, yeah.
Right. So that whole part, I never will ever forgive LeBron for that. But the other part is this. Don't you believe that, think that NBA free agency should come first, then the draft? Because there's nobody in the draft that can help nobody get to the playoffs. All those guys are 2 to 3 years away from being sure. impact players. And the reason I'm going to say this, Bart, just think, when Michael Jordan played an Olympic team in 84, those are our college players dominate. He even dominated Larry Bird and Isaiah Thomas. You remember that? People have a very short memory, but I'm a little older than you, so of course I see things a little different. And when they, 92, decided, oh, we got to send our pros, right now, there's not a team of college players that can compete in FIBA. I don't care if Cooper Flag, there's not a group. If it is, somebody please tell me. I don't see it. Because remember when Steve Kerr had that FIBA team, and those are some of the up-and-coming players, they finished like 7 or 8 plays. So I just think free agency should come first, because in the free agency, those are players, 1 or 2 players that can get you deep in the playoffs and maybe to the finals. But this other way around, putting all this hype around 18 and 19-year-olds, I don't see it, Bart.
Well, yeah, like, look, Ram, thanks for the call. Good to always talk to you. You know that NHL had their draft, and now they're in free agency. MLB has their draft in the middle of the season. That is a different animal entirely. Football does free agency first, and then they wait like a month and a half for the draft. The whole offseason is a mess to begin with. I mean, the finals just ended. And then we had the draft, and now we're talking free agency. And then it's going to be summer league. I think there should be a period of breathing room. But also, it is a part of the calendar. We got to be honest about the sports calendar. I think for a lot of my radio career, I've tried to pretend like there wasn't different times of the year where there was more things going on and where there were less things going on. Because if I admit it, then you're going to be like, bleh. And you'd be like, oh, there's nothing going on. There's always something going on. There's always something to talk about. That's why we're talking here tonight about LeBron James. There's always something to talk about. But if the NBA did take a few weeks off, if the NBA took a few weeks off, like I just said they should, what are we talking about tonight? We're doing 4 hours on Minka Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey, which I do have several thoughts on, actually. Because I think the Steelers are going through one of the great mirage off seasons of our time. And I'm very excited to speak more on that. I'm tickled with excitement to bring you my takes on the topic. Johnny's in Atlanta. Hello, Johnny.
What's going on, Bart? We're talking about the NBA transaction. I'm glad you're not talking about that Kevin Durant trade, because nobody impressed about it. Everybody's tired of Kevin Durant. He's been on so many teams. They announced he got traded, but like, oh, again. So I really think they're gonna hurt the Rockets, because I'm not trading those 22-year-old for a 37-year-old who's gonna retire.
Well, they had a big day today. They signed Dorian Finney-Smith, got him from the Lakers. Clint Capela back.
They basically destroyed a team that was almost there. That was built to win the next few years. You just added 3 old players from behind the league. Clint Capela he's finished. He got to the point he was on the bench majority of the time with the Hawks. Finney-Smith, he's bounced from team to team. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what that front office is doing at all. And then
they're like universally regarded as having the best offseason.
Oh, I guess I'm wrong. Then I ain't there but a Pacers fan who was in the finals this year, so I don't know nothing about basketball. But I was surprised by the Michael Porter Jr., so I ain't hearing about that. Who they got? Who did he get traded for?
Cam Johnson.
They gave Michael Porter Jr. for Cam Johnson. Hey, man, the Denver's are dumb. Oh, my God.
Michael Porter Jr. and an unprotected 2032 first-round pick to the Nets for Cam Johnson.
That's going to be Carson Petillo then. That's my son. He graduated 2032.
Oh, no.
I just play. But that's all I have to talk about the Rockets. I feel like they did they basically destroying the team just to get older for a flashy Rolex that don't tick no more. That's my opinion. Thanks for hearing me out,
Johnny. Thanks for the call. Yeah, a 2032 pick, first round pick. I believe that's the furthest out you can trade right now. Michael Porter Jr., big part of the Nets. They also were able to sign Bruce Brown, who was with them on their championship team. And then they started to lose some of those guys because that's what happened with the Nuggets. They had this good team, and then guys would sign elsewhere, and then they had to get other guys thrust into the lineup, but they didn't really have a lot of money to go get anybody else. Getting Cam Johnson's a good pickup for them. Bruce Brown coming back, I think Nuggets fans will be excited about. I see this pick in 2032. I don't know, man. I feel like if I was a GM, I would really try to win now almost at every single circumstance. You can tell what GMs think they're going to be around a little longer or what GMs think they have job security by – you know, what they do with some of these picks. Like Howie Roseman, I've talked about, he's willing to trade in this year's draft to get a pick next year. That might be like a fourth round this year, but I get a third round next year because he knows he's going to be there to make that pick, and he likes to accumulate assets. I don't know if I'm a GM, I am not planning to be here in 7 years. Like, I know the nature of the league. You got coaches that are getting fired after winning a title 2 years later. Who says that GM's any safer? Plus, 2032, I hate to be so Bart about it, but, man, I don't know what the world's going to look like in 2032. Yeah, you can have anything of mine you want in 2032. Give me them today, man. You can have anything you want in 2032. I'll worry about 2032, shallst we get to a 2032. Give me that Cam Johnson over here, and let's win in 2025. Present time. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. But I've always felt that way. It's nothing about anything. I've always felt that way. Like, in 2000, when it's like, oh, these college teams have scheduled games for 2011. I'm like, what the hell? What are you doing? And then they always get canceled anyway. What was the point? Why do they do that? Why do they act like, oh, we need 7 years to get this, 11 years to get this game scheduled? You know, 2032, my kid graduates in 2037. He's 5. 2032. 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. This portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. If you're stuck in a timeshare and want out, contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. From one story that is very prevalent on the sports media platforms, LeBron James, to another story that's about as niche of a topic as you are going to find on this or any other platform. The Club World Cup is happening. And there's about to be a pretty proper upset here. Al Hilal, a team out of Saudi Arabia, is currently up in Orlando 4-3 on Manchester City. There's about a minute left to go in stoppage time. This would knock Man City out of the tournament as they are in the qualifying rounds. They had a 32-team tournament. They played in groups. They went to a 16-team knockout, and that's the stage we are in right now. There were a handful of games in New York City, Carlos. Do you know of anyone that even went to any of them?
I actually do know one person that went.
What did he go see? Do you know?
No idea. But we were just talking about it over the weekend because he's actually also another season ticket member for the NYCFC. And we were talking about there was a match between Team USA and Costa Rica. And NYCFC has a player on both sides. So we were like, okay, who do we want to get eliminated? Because we want our players back. And Matt Freeze, who basically pitched a gem a baseball tournament and soccer analysis here. He's the goalie for Team USA.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. He was huge in the shootout last
night.
Yes,
yes. He basically...
Three saves.
Basically stopped like six if you count, shootouts and all that. But, yeah, so Team USA advances. So Matt Freeze will be away from the team. We'll get Alonso Martinez back from Costa Rica, which is also huge.
They play this weekend or what?
They play on Thursday, a game that I will be at.
Oh, yeah. MLS, their big week is normally July 4th week. That's when they get their biggest crowds. They get their big crowds either the 3rd or there's going to be some games, I think, on the 4th. I know the Colorado game's always very well attended, and they've been doing that for a long time. So Al Hilal has won. They beat Manchester City. Wow, that's kind of an upset.
Whoa.
I know. I did watch some of the game yesterday. Messi's team, Leo Messi, he plays with Inter Miami now, and they lost to his old team, PSG. They gave up 4 goals in the first half, and then that ended up being the final score, 4-0. I think soccer is interesting, and maybe it's the same in hockey too, goal-based sports, where you can watch a game, and you know a goal is coming. Like, you can it's almost like they're breaking at a wall and eventually like they're cracking the ice and eventually you know one's coming through. I don't think Miami had any real opportunities on the other side of the field, but PSG then got their goal and then another and then another and another and 1-4-0. So interesting upset tonight, but I bring it up because this is an interesting test run for the World Cup next summer. The World Cup with countries. This is the Club World Cup. They've had Club World Cups before, but it's been like 18 mini tournaments. They've never done it like this with this many teams. And the reaction has been kind of tepid. Some teams are really getting into it. Some are not. You know, we're in America here, so there's a little bit of everybody rooting for everything. But the attendance has been pretty bad. They had 48 group stage matches. The listed attendance was 56% attendance of all the games. So essentially they're playing to stadiums that are half full. And some of these stadiums are bigger, but they're also playing in some soccer specific stadiums, which seat 20 to 30,000. There were crowds in Orlando, Florida, 3,400 people. Went to a game. In Cincinnati, there was a game that had 5,200 people. In New York, where they're going to have the final of the World Cup next year, just 44% filled, MetLife. And then the Rose Bowl had some games, and that was just 50% filled. Miami did the best with 81% capacity. FIFA says the appetite of the tournament speaks for itself. Fans from 168 countries have already purchased the tickets, a clear sign of global anticipation and reach. The games are getting about 400,000 viewers when they are on TV, which is not a lot, but it's not zero. The compliment here is it's not zero. So the test run in attendance is interesting because the World Cup will be higher attended. The World Cup will play to full stadiums. I mean, this is going to be countries, you know, as long as we let fans... There's... I don't know what to talk about when it comes to that. There's a big... We got a... Hour five, I got some comments on trying to host a World Cup in this country. I hope it goes off well. Hour five. Maybe even hour six. That might have to be hour... We might have to do a rare hour six podcast on that one.
Can we just get five on the ground? Like off the ground? That would be great.
I mean, I don't even feel like it's safe commentary for hour five. We got to have hour six. But a big issue that I can talk about in hour two is the weather. So they played a World Cup in Qatar, and it's hot there. And so they're like, we're not doing that. They played in the winter instead. There's a World Cup in 2034 that I believe is supposed to be in Saudi Arabia, and it's hot there too. And we may have another Winter World Cup. But this United States World Cup, it's hotter than like other places, and they're having delays. They're having more delays in this Club World Cup, and they're having weather delays as well. There was a day that, well, up to this point, I think, as of yesterday, there were six storm-enforced delays of games. And a Chelsea game got delayed for 113 minutes, which is not common in soccer anywhere else. You rarely see delays. And if we had other sports play in the summer, like, there'd be a lot more delays in football, because then there's rules about if there's lightning, you automatically have to wait 30 minutes and you got to make sure there's no strike within 8 hours away. I mean, it's a safety thing. And I don't think people are like, yeah, we want to play when there's lightning. You don't want to do that. But that's been an issue. And you think of some of these climates, like in Florida, if you're in Florida, it's going to rain almost every day, and it's going to rain between 3 and 6 o'clock. It'd be a nice storm that comes through, and then it's out. You got a nice morning, you get a nice evening, but if you're trying to play in that window, it's tough. And these tournaments aren't just primetime affairs. They do have games during the day to make sure they get them all in. So that is going to be something that they're going to have to, I don't know. A World Cup with a lot of delays is not going to be a pleasurable one. It will get complaints. Ultimately, it will be fine. But this is not something that happens too often. The Chelsea manager saying, guys, don't misunderstand me. This is a great competition. It's the Club World Cup. It's top. We're happy to be in it. But something happens. There's 6, 7 games suspended. It's not normal to suspend a game. In a World Cup, how many are suspended? Zero, probably. In Europe, how many games are suspended? Zero. And then last year in the European Championships, there were like one game suspended, and that's it. But here we also had a very strong heat wave, which went through most of the country. And so we brought up the other night, there was one team in a game in Cincinnati. They sent their bench to the locker room because it was 87 degrees, 87 degrees Fahrenheit. 87 degrees. So that is going to be a concern going forward. But yeah, it's interesting watching this tournament, which you may not even know what the hell I'm talking about, but there is a massive soccer competition happening in the United States right now. Actually, there's two of them, because what Carlos referenced earlier is the Gold Cup, which is North America's like biannual tournament, and the USA almost lost to Costa Rica last night, but then advanced on penalty kicks. So all this is going on at the same time. And then you're going to start to turn on your TVs and you may see even more soccer, because the Women's European Championship is broadcast And that's going to be like on your local Fox affiliates. So if there's like a show you like in the middle of the afternoon, if you're a big Judge Joe Brown or Kelly Clarkson or whoever, whatever your local Fox affiliate has in the afternoon, it may be bumped for Norway versus Germany women's soccer the next couple of weeks. So be on alert for that. Wow, I did a whole segment on soccer. I went LeBron for two segments and then a soccer segment. This has got to be a first anywhere in the world. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.